Blog Talk Radio.
It's Radio Voices Carry for Animals, number 379 shows and counting this evening. We got a really big show tonight. I got four guests from the Vigil for Elephants organizers, which is really just going on Saturday, January the 14th, and helping to promote it. So I hope there's a huge turnout for this event. It gets attention. Because it's, you know, we got to remember the captive elephants that have passed away in zoos, circuses, sanctuaries, and temples. You know, they had no life where they was at. They had no freedom, and it's terrible. They're gone, so may they all rest in peace. And we're remembering them, all of them, this evening and on the 14th and every day, because we want to get the laws changed where, hey, we can't get rid of the circuses, get rid of the zoos. There's no need for them. But I just want to go over a couple things here. Before I get the show started, my name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Animal Advocates Radio Voices Carry for Animals, coming to you live every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide, everyone. All shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. And if you ever want to go back to listen to any of them, www.blogtalkradio.com/voices carry for animals. Or also, this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette, Marty Oakley. A big shout out to her. And that's www.ppjg.me. And on the right-hand column, if you ever want to listen to shows, search Voices Carry for Animals. Or you can put my name, Debbie Dahmer, there, D-A-H-M-E-R, and all the links will pop up. And whatever you want to listen to, press, wait a 4 minutes to download, and it will play. I will be taking calls later on in the show. This show is is huge. It's an international. It's going all over the place. I've been on a roll sharing with a lot of help, and can't thank all you enough for helping me out promote it on Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Voices Carry for Animals support group. Okay, so anyway, I'll give you the number, area code 310-982-4270. You'll be in the queue, okay, and that's the same number every Thursday. Press 1 if you want to speak. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, conversations, and radios, and you're more welcome to come on board, because we're going to rock in the airways tonight for these elephants that have passed away. We want some attention. We want it in the spotlight, and we want change. And change starts with all of us coming together as one and becoming stronger. We are power in numbers, strength in numbers. And in order to see change, we got to take action, because change does not happen on its own. We have to push for change. So bring more, recruit more people, you know, hey, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, your family members. Tell them, ask them, hey, can you help out? And use your voice and use it wisely. But anyway, I want to get started here. And also you can call in from Skype. And I'll give that number again, area code 310-982-4270. Remember, if you want to speak to any of the guests, you're more than welcome to. Just press 1 and you're in the queue. We got a packed house, everyone, and thank you all so much for tuning in this evening. And to give a big shout-out to Gary Bowden. He's the radio producer for All About Animals Radio. And they had a podcast for this event on the 10th with Nicole Rogers, and she is the host Wild for Change, and they did one. And now on Saturday coming up, Lindsay Baker, she might be calling in from Unchained TV, Jane Velez Mitchell. She'll be hosting the International Candlelight Vigil for Elephants online event on Saturday, January 14th, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern. And it will be worldwide when you go to www.facebook.com/Jane Velez Mitchell. But we're going to get started here. I'm going to introduce, give the names of all the team. I call them the super team, everyone, because they are. They've been on all of them have been on the show before. The 2023 Vigil Team representatives and organizers are Marilyn Glazer and Sam Wincup. Sam couldn't be with us tonight, of Lucy's Edmonton Advocates Project. That's for Lucy the Elephant at Edmonton Zoo up in Canada. Courtney Scott of Free the Oregon Zoo Elephants and in Defense of Animals. She couldn't be with us tonight, but we're giving her a big shout-out to her and Sam for all they're doing. And sorry you couldn't be here, but we're thinking of you. Sandra Klinger of the Elephant Advocacy Project. Barbara Levette of Save Nosy Now. And Kirsten Cluster of Elephant Guardians of Los Angeles. Tonight, Marilyn, Sandra, Barbara, and Kirsten are here with us on the show. We want to welcome all of them aboard. We're going to get started with Kirsten Cluster first and have her take the show away, because they're working hard. These ladies are doing everything, and I was a part of it last year, and I couldn't thank them enough. And they're going to keep going. But Kirsten Cluster of the Elephant Guardians of Los Angeles, how are you this evening? Welcome back. This is wonderful what you guys are doing. So meaningful and so heartfelt.
Thank
but go ahead
you.
And yes, it's awesome.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so happy to be here. And the first thing I want to say, Debbie, is that we are just so grateful to you and for this opportunity and this platform that you're providing for us to talk about the Vigil for Elephants, and also for everything you do for animals throughout the year. We really appreciate you, Debbie, and you've been such a strong supporter and friend to the International Candlelight Vigil for Elephants, and we just really, on behalf of the entire Vigil for Elephants team, we just really wanted to let you know how much we appreciate that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for your kind words and meaningful, heartfelt.
Oh, of course.
Yes,
and it's all for the elephants. You know, we're all here for them, and that's really how this got started, was our dedication to really being in solidarity with other animals. And this project really got off the ground. It all started with the rhinoceros. It wasn't even an elephant. It really started with Rhonda the rhinoceros, she was incredible. She lived in a tiny enclosure in the Los Angeles Zoo for a long time alone, and she was euthanized in 2017, and my organization and a group of us here in Los Angeles really wanted to memorialize her, and we held a vigil in front of the Los Angeles Zoo and we remembered Rhonda and other animals who had died in the zoo and all of the elephants through the years who have been held and who died very sad death in the Los Angeles Zoo. And this was picked up by the other elephant organizations that are represented here, that this is just an amazing group of organizations who, over the years, we've worked together and turned this into the International Candlelight Vigil for Elephants. And the first one was held in 2019, and every year it has just grown. And when it started, we were just reaching out to groups all over the world, and we were all organizing local live vigils. And then COVID hit, and that's when we had to figure something out, and we moved over to the online platform, and Lindsay Baker was just so gracious and wanted to host it on her show. She's with the Action Hour on Unchained News, and so we've been doing it since then. This will be our third online international vigil that she's hosted on her show, and people can tune in from all over the world and participate that way. We're back to encouraging people to organize live vigils now that we're able to do that again. And also, what we find really meaningful is just for people to take the time in their own home to burn a candle and remember and mourn this loss with us of these magnificent beings who, through no fault of their own, were taken into these conditions that could not meet their needs. They suffered needlessly and ended up dying really tragic deaths. And we just really want to remember them and also spread the awareness that this doesn't have to happen. We can change this. We can end captivity. We don't have to do this to other species. So thank you, Debbie.
Hey, you're so welcome. You know, we are stronger and better together than apart, and we can't give up. You know, we have to keep going. And because all these animals on this radio platform that I have every Thursday, you know, they all deserve better. And there's no excuses on how so many are getting treated. You know, the elephants, they don't have a choice. They are, you know, forced to go in circuses, forced to go in zoos. I mean, we all have families, and so do they. They deserve to live in freedom, and that's what our goals are. I hope that all wild captive animals are free in 2023, and it's all up to all of us to make it happen, and we have to not give up, because I know I'm relentless, and I try my best to help them all out. And this radio platform is going on 9 years in June, and I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going. So, and with all of your super team there, I know all of you are not giving up either. And a big shout out to Marianne Holm of LEAP, trying to get Lucy out. It's so ridiculous they're keeping her there with her health failing in the Edmonton Zoo. They need to give her up. It's being so difficult. Let these animals, let these elephants live freely. Look at Nosy's elephant. I mean, she's just living freely and so happy, and that was a big fight. And I know Barbara Levette, she was fighting hard, and she's still fighting after the fact that Nosy got, you know, sent to a sanctuary. So, but keep it up. Keep up the great work all of you are doing, because it's so meaningful. You know, strong leaders and strong supporters equals strong victories. And that means a lot right there. But I'm going to go ahead, Kirsten, and bring on Marilyn Glazer, okay? And you can stay on there,
yes,
okay?
Okay,
no
thank
problem.
You, Debbie.
Hey, anytime. Marilyn Glazer of Lucy's Edmonton Advocates Project. Welcome back to Voices Carry for Animals. This is so wonderful to have all you on. I'm honored and so happy to and you know, privileged to be a part of this. Marilyn,
thank you.
You're live and on the air. Go right ahead.
Thank
this is great.
With you definitely are a part of this, Debbie, and we appreciate it so much. And based on or taking off on what you said about how, you know, these elephants cannot, should not live under any captive circumstances. Our team came together a couple years ago, and when we were, you know, really, you know, springing off to grow this, we decided to come up with a mission statement, just because that's always a good thing to do, and to convey our thoughts and our mission. So I'd like to just take a minute and just read our mission statement, just so everyone knows exactly what our thinking was, and of course still is, about the Candlelight Vigil. Captive held elephants are treated as commodities to generate profit for zoos, circuses, and other entertainment venues, shuffled from place to place with no regard for their well-being, often spending the majority of their time alone in substandard conditions without the space required by the largest land mammal on Earth. These elephants die prematurely of diseases such as arthritis, foot disease, tuberculosis, EEHV, and other illnesses brought on by the unnatural conditions of their confinement. Elephants in captivity also display stereotypical swaying, rocking, and bobbing movements, which are symptoms of extreme psychological stress and trauma. The International Candlelight Vigil for Elephants serves to honor these extraordinary beings and their birthright of freedom. The International Candlelight Vigil for Elephants is an offering of remembrance and a call to walk gently upon the earth with compassion and respect for all who share our one planet. And let me just add that, you know, the stereotypical swaying and rocking and bobbing, and, you know, we see so many comments, you know, from people who just don't know, they're not educated, and, oh, they're dancing, oh, you know, they're enjoying their life. Well, it's just not so. They are cramped. They are, you know, psychotic. They just are so desperate for freedom. So that hopefully gives everyone kind of a formalized statement about what we're doing. And then we have just a few numbers that Barbara has. It's kind of a breakdown of sanctuary deaths, circus and zoo deaths, just to give you an idea from the past four vigils of, you know, of elephant deaths that we know of. Barbara?
Yeah, I'm going to bring Barbara in, okay? Hold on one second.
Okay.
Barbara Levitt, hello, say nosy now. Welcome back to the show. This is so great to have all you on again. Yes.
Well, thank you so much. I've been with you so many times. I think what we figured about 10 times over the last 10 years or so.
You're right. It's about that many.
To be here. Yeah, I'm always pleased to be here and to talk about the elephants. And this year is no different. We have been working very hard to get all of our numbers together and make sure that we knew about as many elephant deaths as we could find. Because we've grown over the years and have reached out educationally through all the social media platforms, we're hearing from more and more organizations and individuals about elephants who are dying in circuses and zoos and temples and all over the world. So our numbers obviously will increase because of that knowledge. Unfortunately, we're still not obviously getting every single elephant death recorded, because a lot of the zoos and a lot of the temples and so forth do not even bother to record the elephant's death. They don't memorialize the elephant. They don't put out a social media information about it. So it's very difficult for us to get the exact count of the exact number of deaths. However, starting in 2019, when we had the first vigil, there were 3 sanctuary deaths and 32 circus zoo deaths. Compare that with 2020, and it grows a little bit. We had 45 circus and zoo deaths and 8 sanctuary deaths. That year we started recording more of the elephants who were in temples and festivals, mostly in Asia, and there were 20 festival deaths in 2020. In 2021, we went up a little bit in the festival deaths and in the sanctuary deaths. The festival deaths were at 29 and the sanctuary deaths were at 12. So we had the same number of circus and zoo deaths that year at 45. It seems to remain pretty consistent. This year in 2022, the circus and zoo deaths went up slightly to 48. And there were probably more, like I said, that we didn't hear recorded. There were 10 sanctuary deaths, 16 in festivals and camps, and we also started keeping count of some of the wild deaths, elephants who die in the wild, who various humans on the planet know about because they're in national parks or large elephant reserves in Africa and Asia. So we recorded 29 deaths in the wild as well. We'll continue to do this work and try to figure out, by keeping these numbers, whether or not it's a consistent kind of thing or whether it's going to keep increasing year after year after year. We hope it doesn't. The whole idea, of course, with the Vigil for Elephants is to educate the public on the ravages of captivity for these elephants, that captivity is not a place that elephants should be. They should be in the wild, traversing their habitats and getting their natural browse and doing everything that an elephant loves to do, not sitting in some zoo somewhere in a nasty habitat where they walk the same paths every day, thousands and thousands of times, leaving ruts in the ground. So we'll continue working on gathering this information and getting it out to the public, because education to the public is the key to everything, as we know.
Yes, it is.
Sandra's going to be up, I think, next, talking about, we're highlighting the deaths in captivity in young elephants due to the endotheliotropic herpes virus, which is EEHV. It's a very a terrible virus that seems to attack immune systems of elephants that are in captivity. Sandra's going to talk about some specific examples of quite a few of the babies that have died this year due to EEHV in zoos. It was a devastating year for them and a devastating year for elephants overall. So that's where we stand, and I hope that everybody will be listening in tonight and getting the information so that they can listen to the vigil, the live vigil on Saturday that we'll be doing with Lindsay Baker. And we'll be able to continue to educate the public.
Yes, and I'll be tuning in also, okay? And I'll be also help promoting it, because you know I'm the promoter queen, okay? I was so busy. I was on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, and all of them. So.
So
anyway, I'm going to bring Sandra on. Sandra Klinger, the Elephant Advocacy Project. Welcome back, Sandra. How are you this evening? This is so great to have all you ladies on again. Yes.
Doing very well this evening. I'm very, very happy to get to talk about the vigil and to help raise awareness with you once again about the plight of captive elephants. In the vigil this year, as we were collecting, as we do through the year, Zurich Zoo popped up on the radar. And Zurich Zoo popped up on our radar 2 years ago initially with the death of a baby elephant in their facility. And what caught our attention was when they reported about her mother of other things. And her mother's name was Omisha. At the time it was reported that the baby's death, they said the mother was 6 years old. If the mother is 6 years old, that means they impregnated her when she was 4 years old, which is absolutely outrageous. that this, she would barely have stopped nursing. Her body would have not been mature enough and should never have been forced to carry a pregnancy. She certainly wouldn't have been emotionally prepared to be a mother. And what happened to Omisha 2 years ago was, as soon as her baby was born, she had to watch as the other elephants killed her baby. So it's trauma on top of trauma on top of trauma. At first, I assumed, they must have the date wrong. This must be a typographical error. It was not, because Omisha was born at the Zurich Zoo, so they knew exactly how old she was when they impregnated her. So just the horror of the fact that they literally bred a baby and forced her to carry a pregnancy, and then she had the added trauma of watching her baby die. Then we get to this year, and within a 30-day period, the same zoo, Zurich Zoo, first lost Umesh. So Omisha got to watch another baby in her group die from EEHV. 2 weeks after that, she died of EEHV. And then a few weeks later, Ruwani died of EEHV. So within under 30 days, three elephants at that same facility died from EEHV. And once we were started looking into the other elephants, and this all goes to the captive breeding problem that a lot of people in the public really don't understand how much death and trauma these elephants go through in this captive breeding process. So I started looking back at the parents, even, of these elephants that we were looking at. And the survival rate is so incredibly low. It is stunning. When you look at the father of, I think it might have been Umesh, he had 15 babies total in his life at the zoo. Only two are still alive. Only two out of 15. So think of the compounded trauma of the elephants, experience the grief and loss of these other elephants, the mothers losing their babies, only to be bred again and go through that process again. Even if the babies survive, many of them are then separated from their babies, and they're sent off to other zoos. So it is a compounded, inhumane trauma that these elephants are subjected to in captivity, on top of, and that's for breeding, on top of the physical harm they face from the confines of captivity and the mental stress and trauma they experience as well, from first either being separated and stolen from their family, kidnapped from their wild family, transported, forcibly trained, confined in small spaces, unable to express their natural behaviors, perhaps confined with other elephants in small spaces that they may not get along with and can't get away from. So all of these things are just compounded, and the levels of stress that they must be under on a routine basis, it's no wonder the life expectancy is so poor in captivity. It's no wonder we see the disease issues we see in captive elephants. With everything that Marilyn had mentioned earlier, the arthritic problems, but also you have infertility issues that they are experiencing, heart disease, chronic ulcers from unnatural feeding regimes and unnatural food sources. They don't get fresh browse 20 hours a day when they're in the zoo or in the circus. They're fed concentrated feed. They're only fed hay at certain periods of time. The rest of the time, they're just standing around because there's nothing else for them to do. There's nowhere for them to go. They can either stand on this side of the paddock or that side of the paddock. So it's just this constant stress, constant erosion, and of their health, of their mental health, of their physical health. And you add that to what we know I mean, now it's like the things that those of us advocates, we would look at these elephants and you could see it. You can see it. If you really look at them, you see it in the stereotypic behavior. You see it in their demeanor. You see it in their silence. You don't hear them talking at the zoo to each other like you would in a wild family. Now we are seeing published science catching up with what we've known to be true all along. And so now we are having the hard science to back up these impacts. So we can point to actual published studies documenting these health impacts and the mental impacts, where there's a recent study that actually now documents through hard science, published scientific study, that captivity causes actual brain damage to elephants and other large marine mammals. We have got to do better. These are sentient beings who live in tight family groups, who have very strong emotional bonds with each other, are capable of complex thought, express empathy, grieve their dead. How is it we are treating them like this? We enslave them for our entertainment, and we have got to do better. There's no excuse. We've got to stop this.
We have to. I mean, it's no life form. The circus, the zoos, the festivals, they deserve so. I mean, if you're looking at a photo of elephants out in the wild, compared to elephants in a circus or a zoo, which do you prefer to see them in? What setting? Mine is in freedom. Definitely.
Well, the elephant you see in captivity is just a shadow of the full expression of an elephant. When you see them in living their lives in the wild with their family groups, interacting, problem solving, on the move, that is what an elephant is. That's how millions of years of evolution, living in their family groups, on the move, their bodies were made to do that, to live in the wild, in their natural environment. They are not made to stand around as a curiosity for humans. And that's what we are, when we hold them in captivity, there is no purpose for it except our entertainment and somebody's profit. That's all that is happening for them. There is no conservation benefit to it at all. So it's time
before
that
animal.
That's right. And
no,
so we,
no.
So we're fighting against, part of what we're having to do now is raise a broader sense of public awareness. And part of the difficulty for us is a lot of people, there's been a lot of time and effort and energy by zoos to represent themselves as conservation organizations. But the reality, when you look at it, they're not, nothing they're doing as far as breeding elephants in captivity has a conservation benefit for the wild population. It does nothing. None of those captive bred elephants, the few that survive, we're talking about 35% will survive past age 8 of captive bred elephants, only 35%. They'll never be released to the wild because they won't have the skill to survive in the wild because they've been raised in captivity. So it's a false perception that the public has been given about why this is going on. And we hope that by chronicling the lives of these elephants in the vigil and explaining what has actually happened to these elephants and honoring their lives as the unique and special individuals that each of them were, that we will help educate the public to understand what actually happens to these elephants in captivity. Why these births aren't necessarily a good thing when you see one born in captivity. Why those of us who know go, oh no, what's going to happen to that baby when we see, you know, the newborn announcement come out from a zoo? Because we know very shortly thereafter we will probably see a death announcement. But anyway, so we're hoping that through programs like yours we can help get the word out and help educate the public and spread awareness and just as you said, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, because the one of the surest way we can stop this the most quickly is stop the money. You stop the
that's
money.
That's right. Read. Yes.
That's right.
Right there. Yep. Stop this profit before animals, because they're not even looking at the animals, you know, with their health and everything and how they're living. It's like, okay, I want more money in my pocket. You know, I don't care about how this animal feels about being, it's like prison. It's just like it. No life and just
it is,
miserable.
It is very much a prison for these elephants because
yes.
they get fed, and a lot of times the public will often put back and say, well, but at least they don't have to worry about poachers or threats from poaching. And it's like, okay, that is true. But what they don't understand is that elephants face just as deadly threats from captivity as they face in the wild. And at least in the wild, they've lived a life with autonomy with their family and haven't been denied all of those things. So there are still threats in captivity that elephants face, even with full-time veterinary care. They're not stopping this. And we are seeing elephants die on average at less than half the life expectancy of elephants living in the wild facing those threats. So they do poorer in captivity than in the wild. So that's just every metric you look at to point people in the direction of we need to stop taking elephants and holding elephants in captivity. We need to move away from this.
Right.
It's time.
Agreed, all the way. All of it. Just let them live freely. Leave them alone. You know, we don't need them in zoos or circuses or festivals. Let them live freely with their families and roam on this earth, because we're all on this earth temporarily, include all the animals. So once they're gone and we're gone, hey, that's it. So we have to do something, audience. Please do your part. You know, all these organizers of this vigil for elephants, see how you can help out. I mean, you can go to Lucy's Edmonton Advocates Project on Facebook or Barbara Levette. Save Nosy Now and Kirsten Cluster of Elephant Guardians of Los Angeles, Sandra Klinger, the Elephant Advocacy Project, and Marilyn Glazer's, you know, she's doing all she can, just like Marianne Holm with Lucy. And look at Billy
right.
the Elephant in Los Angeles Zoo. You know, we all have to open our eyes and do our part, because if we stand idle, it's just going to continue. The problems prevail, and it just gets worse. So let your voice be heard, everyone, because our voices really do matter. I do it myself. Just outside of this radio platform, yes, I do contact my state representatives. Yes, I do sign petitions. Yes, I help out on social media. Anything I can do to get the word out there, the awareness, the prevention. Let's protect these animals, because we are their protectors and guardians. You know, we have to make sure that they are protected, not put in harm's way and living miserably, you know. Oh, it's something else.
Well,
what you're saying is so sad. What's going on? Very heartbreaking.
So what, and on in our attempt to make sure that we identify and honor as many elephants as we can, the vigil is coming up very soon, this Saturday, and Barbara is going to tell everyone what to expect with the vigil and how they can join in.
Okay, great. Hey, Barbara Levette of Save Nosy Now, you're live and on the air, so go ahead and say how we can all help out on this Saturday, January 14th at 2 p.m. Eastern, and listen to every, you know, worldwide, everyone, hosted by Lindsay Baker from Unchained TV, Jane and Les Mitchell, Action. And so we got to do something. We got to keep the word out. But go ahead, Barbara. Go ahead. What to expect on Saturday?
Yes. Well, as Sandra said, we have the vigil every year in early January to commemorate all of the elephants lost in the previous year. The Action Hour, the Unchained TV Action Hour with Lindsay Baker will be held on Saturday, this Saturday, January 14th, and it will be at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We encourage everyone to join in. It is a very mournful, solemn occasion. And believe me, we have a hard time holding back our tears as we go through this process of commemorating each of the elephants that died. We will be naming each of them and recalling each elephant's name and their location, where they died and where they ended up at the end of their lives. We will light a candle in their honor. We'll have a video presented of all of the pictures of those elephants. We will have a minute of silence to honor them. And we'll also have a couple of wonderful poems that we'll read to commemorate and mourn them. We hope that all the viewers will be able to spread the awareness of this program on social media platforms just by going to any one of our sites and sharing the information that we have there on the vigil. We also have the Vigil for Elephants page on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so anybody can go there to get all of the current information, the link to the program, which, as Debbie said at the top of the hour, was www.facebook.com/Jane Velez Mitchell, and Velez is V-E-L-E-Z. So hopefully we'll be able to get a lot of people involved and starting spreading that awareness about these horrific lives that the elephants live and be able to move forward with many fewer elephants dying of these terrible, terrible ravages of captivity.
Yes. And also on the Facebook page and Twitter, you also have the vigil, the number 4 elephants, everyone. So please check it out. Share that, because they've been doing updates. I've been checking back with them and sharing their stuff, because sharing is caring out there. The more awareness out there and letting people know and let them go on through your news feed, the better. You know, share the website. See how you can help out. Spread the word. Because we are power in numbers. The more of us come together, hey, the better it is and the faster the changes. And that's what it takes, is teamwork all the way. And this right here, the show this evening, this is what you call a super team of these ladies coming together, you know, last year, the year before, since 2019. So keep it up, ladies. I mean, you're doing an outstanding job. I'm giving you all a standing ovation because this is so important. Their lives matter. We need change, everyone. We need to live in freedom and comfort and with their families and get them out of this, I also call it animal slavery, you know, because it is. And it's being in prison. And it's not right for them. So everyone, you know, spread the word out there. Because social media is like a landing strip for all of us to get the word out. I know once I get on a roll, I share stuff, I'm all over the place. I put tabs up, Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest, LinkedIn, and share it. And I will, you know, not everybody's on social media at the same time. So I try to get, like, every couple of days, bring it through again. If there's any petitions or, you know, make phone calls, letters, all of it matters. And it's not that difficult. You can't help. You know, you can help make changes in the comfort of your home, your phone, your computer, your copier. I mean, it's right there. It can't get no more easier. Right, ladies? I mean, it can't. It's everything's right there. And let your voice be heard, because all of our voices are very important. So
we've got to
do what we've got to do. Go ahead.
One of the things I wanted to mention is that when we do the candlelight vigil every year, as we're leading up to the actual live vigil in January, we always have people send in photos or short videos of themselves holding their own vigil within their homes or in their communities, because of COVID, of course, that shut down a lot of the live vigils, but we're hoping that that will continue to grow again as time goes on. But we have a beautiful, beautiful video that Sam Winkup of the LEAP group put together for us. Of all the pictures and short videos that people sent in during this the last couple of months to commemorate and show their own live vigils in their homes. It's a really beautiful and touching video that anybody can see at the Vigil for Elephants page on Facebook or on Twitter or on Instagram. I just wanted to mention that because so many people did send in beautiful pictures and videos this year, and it's just so touching to see them.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the video going around, too. I got to take some time and look at that and share it, not just look at it, but share it, because I know it's going to be touching. It's going to be, you know, hard. It's going to break your heart to see these elephants that have not had life, and they're dead now. I mean, they're gone, and they deserve, all of them deserve better. So everyone, you know, you can check me out. You can Voices Carry for Animal Support Group. Follow me there. I have different admins. A big shout out to them. But I want to be sharing that video, what you're talking about, Barbara. The, you know, get it out there on all social media. And I'll just, because it's on YouTube, right? The Vigil for Elephants, where all the elephants. Right.
Vigil for Elephants is currently on the Vigil for Elephants Facebook page and on Twitter. I'm not sure if Sam has it on YouTube yet. It might be on the Vigil for Elephants YouTube channel because we do have a YouTube channel for Vigil for Elephants. And Vigil for Elephants, like you said earlier, is Vigil with the number 4 elephants, not F-O-R like a lot of people think. So it's V-I-G-I-L 4 elephants.
Yeah, on Twitter and Facebook. Everyone check it out, you know, see what you could do. Press, you know, get involved. That's how we get, take care of business, and we take care of it right because it's, we need change. We can't keep going on over there. Just think, this, all this has rolled over from the 20th century, and now it's the 21st century heading to the 22nd, so we got to do something. We need change, everyone. We can't just sit idle and just keep letting this happen. And year after year, hear about all these elephants dying in captivity. You know, we are, they blame, they said, oh, we blame society, but we are society, everybody. Your voices, actions really do matter. So,
well,
keep,
David,
it up.
Marilyn,
keep it up.
Tell us about.
We got, yeah,
about
Marilyn, you there? Yeah, I got a caller calling in, but I'm going to take it after you speak, okay? Because a big shout-out to all the co-sponsors on this vigil. There's a lot of them, including myself. I was spreading that around, too. And it's that's what you call teamwork. But go ahead, Marilyn.
Okay.
I'll take the call
in
for you. Go ahead.
Okay. That's what I was going to mention. All of the, well, first of all, if anyone would, who's listening does not have one of our booklets, please send us an email to vigil4elephants@gmail.com. And again, that's the number 4. And just say that you would like a PDF, our PDF booklet for the 5th annual vigil. And this booklet is about 90 pages, and each page, you know, covers a story, and it does have a couple beautiful writings. And at the very beginning of the book, you'll see a list of co-hosts, and those are various groups, some nonprofits, some grassroots organizations who wanted to step in and be a co-host because they support this event to give these elephants a dignified end-of-life service, which is what the vigil, of course, is about. So do email if you'd like a booklet, and we'll get one to you, you know, as soon as we can. So we do want to give a shout-out to all of the co-hosts who stepped in to support this effort. And so as far as what can you do? From what Debbie said and what Barbara said, what we're all saying is every little petition, well, they're not little, but every petition that you sign or that comes across your way that has to do with helping an elephant in need, sign it, share it, tell your friends, tell them the truth about how zoos and elephants are not meant to be. Reach out to some of these co-hosts. Reach out to one. Reach out to see what you can do. If you can write a letter to their city council, if you can write a letter to a mayor, if they have petitions, if you have $5 you want to support one of these organizations with, I'm sure they would gladly accept that. Just be active, like we've been saying, as small or as little as you can. We don't exactly know why, but for instance, the elephants at the Knoxville Zoo in Tennessee, their three elephants are being transferred, I think, at different times during 2023, and they're being transferred to the elephant sanctuary in Hohenwald, Tennessee, and that's huge. We don't know, what the reasons were for prompting this move, but it's a good move and does set an example. So there was a group of us who wrote to the zoo board, who wrote to zoo staff in Knoxville. Thank you for doing that. It's the humane thing to do at this point in these elephants' lives. This will give them a chance to live out this chapter of their lives freely. And then encourage them to turn, say, the elephant exhibit into some other elephant educational venue, whether it's webcams showing live elephants from Paul's or from the elephant sanctuaries, encourage other non-live elephant, a venue for people to see how elephants really live, like Sandra so eloquently told us. So, again, we thank the co-hosts. We thank Debbie, Sam Wincup, who we could not do this without her with all of our graphics, Courtney Scott, who writes beautiful stories. It's definitely a team effort and one that that we're just really proud to help, give these elephants a dignified ending. Another example, if I can just throw out, about Lucy in Edmonton. She is still there. If you would like to help, there is a petition that's pinned at the top of the Lucy's Edmonton Advocates Project Facebook page. Feel free to pull it, sign it, share it, and that's a huge help. And do that with some of these organizations for their elephants who are in need. We don't want to keep seeing more elephants on this list every year. So we just appreciate having this platform to educate and to spread awareness and to give these elephants a dignified end-of-life memorial service.
Yes,
and we hope
go ahead. I'm sorry.
We hope everybody will get involved because, as you've said so many times, Debbie, we know activism works. We have living examples. Activism is working. We have, for example, Nosy is one good living example of activism working, living her life happily in sanctuary. But just recently, we had a huge shrine announce they will stop using elephants after 82 years of exploiting elephants in their circus. They are going to stop doing it, and that is because of constant, relentless activism. Protesting,
yes,
every
agreed.
Circus exhibit they did. And so people, every action you take, it really does make a difference. It may seem like, oh, there's no way we're going to do it. It is. We are closing venues, and whether it's pressure on a zoo, whether it's pressure on a circus, whether it's writing and calling your legislators supporting TEPSPA to stop traveling circuses, there are so many things people can do who want to get involved for elephants.
That's right. You know what we see change? We got to take action, right, ladies? We can't just
stay idle
because nothing will just get worse. So please take action, everybody. That is the key. And, ladies, I got a caller calling in. We got like 5 minutes left. Area code 631, you're live and on the air. Go ahead. You have any comments or questions for the guest? Mama Bear is on
Hi,
the Debbie. Air, and she really does care. Hi. Is this Lauren? I know your voice.
Yes.
How are you?
Yes,
welcome
it's me.
Aboard. Thanks
I'm
for
good.
Calling in.
Thank you.
Yes.
Of course. I wanted to ask the ladies, keeping track of unfortunate deaths, but what can you do to get them out of these areas like Indonesia? Unfortunately, certain countries, and even from state to state, if they deem the elephants as property, that's a problem. So what I've noticed being in the industry, I live in New York, in Long Island. The Bronx Zoo is one of the worst zoos around. Now, to me, it's not necessary. Zoos are not necessary anymore because you got the graphics, you got these advanced computers. Kids can learn off of that. You don't need them anymore. You know, and I was just wondering if you guys have been working in other countries to get the animals, you know, the elephants out of there too. Hello.
Yeah. This is Sandra with the Elephant Advocacy Program Project. Most of our individual efforts have been here in North America. We are we do what we can. We do support the Global Sanctuary for Elephants and Elephant Haven and the other sanctuaries and help advocate for release of elephants in other countries. But what you said, Lauren, is right on the money. And the perfect example why we don't need zoos and why we don't need live exhibits of these magnificent animals like elephants for people to learn about them, understand about them, or care about them is ask your child about dinosaurs or your grandchildren. None of them have seen a living dinosaur, but they love them. They can tell you all about them with incredible detail.
Right.
So this shows we do not need to hold animals as prisoners and claim
right.
that's necessary to educate the public about them. It's just not.
Exactly.
But we are in the process of trying to change the laws and have a non-human right for animals like elephants. It's a slow process. It is, as you know, with the Bronx Zoo, it's going to be stops and starts, and it's going to be a long, hard battle. But eventually that's where we need to end up, is they have rights. They should have some basic rights
that's
to
right.
live their lives without us imprisoning them.
Exactly.
But the legal fight is a long fight, and we do we support and advocate for the actions like the Non-Human Rights Project, who is trying to get
right.
those laws changed.
Yes. I hate to intercept it. This show is going to be shut down here in just a minute.
Okay.
This has been another outstanding show with all you ladies, and keep it up. Everyone, on this International Candlelight Vigil for Elephants online event is this Saturday, the 14th at 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And just go to www.facebook.com/Jane Velez Mitchell, and it will be hosted by Lindsay Baker, okay, from Unchained TV. So anyway, thank you ladies for coming on this evening and giving all this important info.
Thank you.
This has been great. And I want to invite all of you back. Once you walk through the Voices Care for Animals, you're already part of family. So next week, we're going to welcome Scott Beckstead back. He was the director of campaigns at Center for a Humane Economy and a director of campaigns at Animal Wellness Action. So we want to welcome him back. But thank you all for tuning in. I hope you tune in for Saturday, and I'll be help promoting it also. Thank you, ladies. And it's been another great interview.
Bye,
Kevin. You're rocking the airwaves. Yes.
Bye-bye.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Paul in hand. Bye-bye. United we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone, and thanks for tuning in, and may God bless you.